And you think of that song this morning, Matthew chapter 1. Our young people are dismissed to children's church for those kindergarten and younger. Thank you for being in here today. And we still have children's church going on this morning. Matthew chapter 1. We'll also look at Luke chapter 2 in just a moment. I'm glad you are here. Thank you for braving the snow and making a way to be here this morning. Matthew chapter 1. We are recording this morning, and we'll put it out on our website so people that are at home later on this afternoon can hear the service as well. That may not be the next best thing if you're not able to come to church. Matthew chapter 1. What's in a name? It's a song that I heard years ago in a church. What's in a name? It's just a name. Yet it brings to me a peace I've never known before. What's in a word that when it's heard, yet unlocks my soul and opens my heart's door? For when I speak his name, a love is set in motion, a love to turn the tide of any ocean, a love to soften hearts of stone, a love that makes my heart its home. When I speak his name, a joy is like a fountain that all begins to rise up like a mountain. The chains of fear and doubts are broken when the name of Jesus is spoken. Oh, it's a beautiful song, a beautiful rendition of that could be sung someday, pointing to the name of Jesus. There are many titles in the Bible of Christ, but there's only one name of Jesus. His name is Jesus. You'll find different titles used or things connected to his name, but his name is Jesus. When we hear Emmanuel, that's what he was, his person. Jesus, what he was to do, his work. Christ, what place he was to fill, that's his office. Lord, what claim he was to make, his headship. King, what rank he was to hold, his kingdom. The Son of God, in relation to God, his mission. The Son of Man, in relation to man, his mission. So today we're going to look at the name of Jesus, a special name. Look in our passage in Matthew chapter 1. Thank you for that. We'll begin in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, called his name Jesus. 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 Maybe some of you Spanish-speaking people here, it kind of sounds like that. Jesus. Jesus is the name that you would say that. It's of Hebrew origin. Joshua. Joshua. You've heard that name. Or Yeshua. It's the same word there that's used in the Old Testament. And the name Jesus means deliverer or savior, or simply this, God is salvation. God is salvation, and his name is Jesus. We notice in these verses that he shall save his people from their sins. That was the reason Christ came. That was the whole purpose. That was his great business in this world. His errand that he came on into this world for was to make atonement for sin, to deliver from sin, to destroy the effects of sin in our lives and the penalty of sin that we're all already condemned under. He came to save his people from their sin. And we read in the Old Testament of four people that God names before they're born. And there are some, Isaac in Genesis, Josiah in 1 Kings, Ishmael in Genesis, and also Cyrus in Isaiah chapter 44. In the New Testament, we have John the Baptist. He was named before he was born. And also Jesus Christ named before his birth. Now in Luke chapter 2 is the next place we need to look at. Luke chapter 2, we find his public naming. It was a big deal as 8 days that the child of a male child would be circumcised. On day 40, the mother would be purified. She would go be declared purified at the temple. And it would be at the temple that they would make a public declaration. They would present their child to the priest. They would go and have the purification sacrifice for the mother because she was unclean for those 40 days. And they would also redeem the child. They would offer a sacrifice on behalf of the little baby. And so we have Mary and Joseph, 40 days later, they're traveling. And it's about 6 miles away, and they get to Jerusalem. And they go to the temple. Now the Bible tells us in verse 21, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's when they would sign off on the birth certificate, if you would. If day 8, they'd sign off, this is his name. Of course, they would have said it before that. Verse 22, and when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifices, or sacrifice, according to that which is said of the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves for 2 young pigeons. And so Joseph takes Mary and their newborn baby Jesus. And it was at this public naming in the temple. It was a public dedication. Sometimes we'll have a baby dedication. It was a public dedication. It was public obedience. Here he is, and he's been told, and people perhaps were talking about it in the family, what are they going to name this baby? But he said, I've been told by God, and we're going to call his name Jesus. And now they're presenting him to the priest, and they're saying, and he's still wrapped in his swaddling clothes. And they're saying, here he is, and we're going to offer a sacrifice on his behalf, and here he is, and his name is Jesus. Isn't this what we do as well? We see a baby, a newborn, and they usually keep him in the car seat. Have you noticed that? They'll keep him in the car seat. They'll bring him into church. Everyone comes and they'll look down at the baby and say, oh, what's his name? And they'll say, it's not a him, it's a her. And her name is. Doesn't that happen a lot? Okay, that's what we do. And we'll say, and we're proud about that. Here he is, or here she is, and we'll give their name. And so it's a public display of dedication. It's a public display of obedience. It was a public presentation of the Christ child, baby Jesus. They called his name Jesus. Now, the name of Christ is so special. The name of Jesus is so important. Some people curse his name. Some people excuse his name. Some people abuse his name. But as believers today, we ought to cherish the name of Jesus. We need to cherish it today. Some use his name in a casual way. Some will use his name in a cursing way. But friends, today we must use his name in the highest regard, greatest esteem, because it is at the name of Jesus which we receive our salvation. It's by Christ, Christ alone. Now, all of us perhaps have made a list in the last several weeks. Can you make a list of what you would like to do or to give or what you would like to accomplish in this holiday and holy day, if you would, season? Maybe you have a list of gifts to buy. And you have it all charted out. I'd like to get this gift for this person, and you maybe have a list. Or if you're making a meal for someone, you have a list of what to get. You have a store list. You know what I'm talking about with a list. Let me ask you this. With all the names that are on the list that you have, is the name of Jesus at the top of the list? Because we're going to cherish his name. We ought to cherish his name. Is Christ at the top of your list? A Christmas list? A gift list? a wish list, a food list, an errand list, a Christmas list, whatever it is, let's cherish that name of Christ today. Let's make a few observations. Number one, from this passage, your soul is cleansed from sin in Jesus' name. Your soul is cleansed from sin in Jesus' name. He came not to save men in their sin, but from their sin. Aren't you glad for that? When we get to heaven, we're no longer in our sin. We've been saved from our sin. That's a wonderful truth. And He came not to save these Jewish people from a bad government, though they had a bad government. And they had some high expectations. Well, that we're under this Roman rule. Herod is, he's set up, he's a puppet king, and if we could have a new kingdom now, we would like that. And so, of course, later on when the wise men came, where is he, the foreign king of the Jews? Everyone was all excited, but they were also uneasy because Herod was a very vengeful and hateful king. But Christ came more than to deliver his people from the tyranny of a government. Not just from bad government, he came to deliver them for more than temporal relief, which is what many of them wanted. And by the way, most people today, if you just give them some temporal relief and give them some physical things for the present, you'd make them happy and their boat would float and they wouldn't look for anything else in this world. Focus on the temporal. But he came for something more than the temporal. He came to give eternal life and the way to be right with God for all of eternity. See, our sin needed a penalty executed. And that penalty is death. Sin needed a penalty executed. Turn, if you would, over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Your soul is cleansed from sin in Jesus' name. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 12, the Bible says, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Our lives are dominated by sin. Look at verse 17. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you, and that were cleansed through Jesus Christ, his blood sacrifice." But notice in verse 21, "What fruits ye had then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death." Sin needed a penalty executed. There's a report from the Minnesota Crime Commission. The Minnesota Crime Commission, here's what they wrote. "In studying humanity, the commission came to this frightening and factual conclusion. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his mother's attention, his playmate's toy, his uncle's watch. Deny him what he wants, and he sees with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous were he not so helpless. He is dirty, he has no morals, he has no knowledge and no skill. This means that all children, not just certain children, are born delinquents. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world, and given free rein of his impulsive actions to justify his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a soldier." That's a pretty good statement. By the way, the Bible already told us that. The Bible already told us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that the wage of sin is death. Folks, without Jesus Christ, we are helpless, we are hopeless. And we are born in our trespasses and our sins. By the way, that kind of sounds like a good motivation for parents to make sure that you curb your rebellion in your child while they're young. Because if you don't, they will become those killers, murderers, and those in prison, like that. They will. And if not that extreme, they're still going to have a hard life of sin. You don't help them and be the parent that you can be, that God wants you to be. The Bible tells us in James 1, verse 15, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, either you pay the death penalty, which must be executed, or you accept the payment Christ paid on behalf. Sin needed a penalty executed. Along with this, your soul is cleansed from sin in Jesus' name. Salvation needed a payment exacted. And it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God would not accept any other sacrifice for your eternity but the shed blood of Jesus. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and almost all things are purged, or by the law, purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. No redemption, no forgiveness, without the shedding of blood. Sin separates us from God. Sin covered our lives and consumed our lives back in the Garden of Eden. And sin cost a particular payment, and only blood show the seriousness of the need. You see, it was sin that destroyed our life, destroyed our walk with God, destroyed our relationship. It was sin that did that. It destroyed human life. Just totally tore us up. And then here comes the life of Jesus. Only that could make it right with God. The saving life of Jesus Christ. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, the Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, sin took away from life. Because of sin, we're condemned to death. And now, a life is required. And it was the blood sacrifice payment that was required and was exacted. Sinners also need a pardon extended. Look in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. A payment extended, a pardon rather, extended. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Your soul is cleansed from sin in Jesus. Oh, the name of Jesus, it's a beautiful, wonderful name. Number two this morning, your life is delivered from destruction in Jesus' name. Now, look back in Matthew, if you would. Let me ask you a question while you're turning there. Can we self-destruct when things don't go our way? Can we do that? Yes, we can. Can we overreact in different situations? We're confronted with something that's wrong or tragic, or something that's beyond our control, and we're not sure what to do about it. Can people self-destruct? Let me ask you this. Do people overdose with drugs? Do they self-destruct? Yes, they do. I just heard of a 21-year-old just 2 days ago who overdosed with drugs, and he destroyed his life. And he paid the price for that today. And have you heard of alcoholics? And even college-age alcoholics? And they self-destruct. They destroy their life. I just read about a week or two ago of a college student, and he drank himself to death. By the way, it's not just college students who do something. It's not just young people. It's older adults as well who do things like that. Now, your life is delivered from destruction in Jesus' name. Because of Jesus, we have an eternity with God in heaven as believers. But because of Jesus on this earth, we don't have to self-destruct. We don't have to succumb to sin and the problems with sin all around us. Joseph, as he was growing up, was a respectable teenager. I believe that. Now look in verses 19 to 20, and let's consider Joseph. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, as Joseph was growing up, he was a respectable teenager. He wasn't running around getting in a lot of trouble and things like that. He learned a trade. He learned how to do carpentry work. And he also saved up some money. He saved up some money so that whenever he found the bride that God was going to direct him to, he would have the money required for the dowry and all the things that were associated with the wedding and being married. And so he was a smart young man. He did not run around sinning. Joseph did all the right things. We would say, Joe is a great guy. Joe is faithful. If you ask Joe to get it done, he can get it done. He does a good job at work. He works hard. He's kind-hearted. He's nice to his neighbor. He's a nice person. That's who Joseph was. And then he gets, and it's really more than we would associate with an engagement. Some kind of a ceremony has taken place. A transaction has occurred. And whenever they would be betrothed in biblical times, they would have a ceremony. They would exchange some gifts, but then they would separate for about a year. And they would say, okay, we're going to wait to come together as husband and wife. That's why the Bible says that he's betrothed to her, but then the angel says, you know, take thy wife. By the way, that's also how you find them traveling many miles to go back to Bethlehem, is they've already been married, but they haven't come together. There's been the separation period. We can talk about that for quite a bit. And so he was a respectful teenager. So he meets this beauty and falls in love. And then they separate. That's the custom. That's what they would do. Now, think about this. He understands my bride to be his child. How has this happened? We did the right thing. I don't deserve this. That's how a lot of us think. Wouldn't we? Was she unfaithful? We were never alone together. They were never alone. He did the right thing. He supported her when they decided to get married and they had the betrothal and then they separated. They did all this. He did the right thing. And what should I do about this? He had spoken for her. How was she pregnant? The Bible says that he would put her away privily. That would be similar to a divorce. He didn't want to make a public spectacle about it. He wanted to, in a loving way, and by the way, that was because of love. He loved her. And he wanted to put her away privily. God said, no, don't do that. You finished what was started. You married this girl. You've already betrothed to her. You've separated from her. You go ahead and marry this woman. Of course, they did not know each other until after the birth. So as soon as Christ came, you can say it this way, Joseph had a big problem. Joseph had a big problem as soon as Mary was impregnated. And that's true in our lives. Even with Christ, there are going to be problems. Even with Christ in our lives, there's going to be problems that we all face. Remember Mary and Elizabeth? They hadn't seen each other for a while. That's why Mary was with Elizabeth. But I want to share with you that. So think about this. Your life is delivered from destruction in Jesus' name. People can self-destruct. Joseph could say, forget it. And he could do the wrong thing. But he did not do that. Joseph did the right thing. Many people today live temporal lives, wasted lives. And they do something opposite of what Joseph did. Instead of embracing God's word and obeying God, they run some different direction. They waste their life on temporal things, pride, money. They'll live for stuff or fame or drugs or alcohol or cheap and fast relationships. A temporal, wasted life. Some people live a tempered an angry life, and they have angry expectations or wrong expectations, and they'll have unfulfilled or unrealized dreams, and they'll get angry and tell everyone about it, maybe because of false hopes. And some people have such mean spirits about them, and they're self-destructing. They're hurting themselves. They're hurting their own family, and they're self-destructing the life that God has given them. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 8, cease from anger. Take wrath, fret not thyself in any wise. A temporal, wasted life, a tempered, angry life, a tragic, defeated life. Some, even believers, will live with no zeal, no enthusiasm, just they're always down, always active, discouraged, they're always depressed, all this kind of thing. And they don't realize the victory they have in Jesus. And that's a sad thing. That's a sad tragedy. Your life is delivered from destruction. You don't have to self-destruct. Because of Jesus, you can fulfill the things that God has for you to fulfill. I'm reminded by this name, Jesus, when the Jewish people would hear this name, when the wise men came, when the shepherds arrived, when everyone heard, what's his name? I'm going to call his name Jesus. When they get to the temple and the priest here, what's his name? And everyone's standing around looking at the baby because everyone gathers around a baby. Everyone's looking at the baby. And they say, what's his name? His name is Jesus. And then when Anna the prophet comes in, when the other man comes in and they look at the baby, they say, his name is Jesus. That name itself would give great hope to those people. Because of the four people in biblical history, Old Testament history, Jewish history, named Joseph, or rather Jesus, Joshua. They were people who did great things for God. Most Hebrew people, when you hear the name Joshua, would think of the great general for God, the one who led them into the promised land. And so just hearing that name put great expectations on anyone that was named that name. Of course, the expectations of Christ being of God Himself, being the Son of God. Your soul was cleansed from sin in Jesus' name. Your life is delivered from destruction in Jesus' name. Folks, don't be discouraged in this special season. Sometimes at Christmas time, people get mopey and discouraged and depressed, things like that. You think about the name of Jesus. You think about deliverance that God has given to you. And there's no reason to be discouraged or down and out about anything because of the name of Jesus. Number three, your obedience to God honors the name of Jesus. Look in verses 18, 19, and 20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And it goes on to say, who this Christ child is, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sin. Your obedience to God and God's word honors the name of Jesus. Did Joseph obey what God told him to do? He did. Starting with this, Joseph, you need to marry her. By the way, if you're married, here's the command of God for us. Married, stay married. If you're married, stay married. Now, not everyone is called to marriage. Not every person is called to be married. The gift of singleness can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It is a gift of God that a person, a man or a woman, can be single for all of their life and be content and find and still honor God and all the different things that maybe a person is looking for. There is a gift of singleness. But not everyone is called to marry. But Joseph was called to marry. And Joseph, you married this woman. She was not unfaithful. What has happened in her is because of God, and the baby is not your baby, it is my son. And you are going to raise. You're going to give him an upbringing. You get married. If you get married, stay married. Take unto thee Mary, thine wife. And he took her. And he married her. He fulfilled God's word. He fulfilled God's will. After clear instruction, Joseph did not hesitate. He obeyed God. So your obedience to God, God's word, honors. If you get married, stay married. If you have a child, be responsible for that child. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now they're going to call him Emmanuel, but you're going to call him Jesus. And Joseph did that. And Joseph obeyed the Lord with that. And he was responsible for the Christ child. And he was there as this earthly father, if you would. This is my son, God said, but he's your responsibility. He's of the Holy Ghost, but here he is. You take him. You name him. You take them to the temple. You take, and Joseph took care of all the things that a normal Jewish child would have had happen. Joseph married, and when they married, he parented, if you would, the Son of God. And then finally, know Jesus for himself. We need to turn over to Luke chapter 2. Again. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. A few principles that we've looked at. And the third one, if you know Jesus, show him to others. 8 days were accomplished through the circumcision of the child, which his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then we could go on and read about Simeon. I love the story of Simeon. And then the prophetess Anna. And they present him to the Lord. They present the Christ child to the priest. They tell everyone this is who he is. His name is Jesus. And they show him to these other people. Friends, today we have the same obligation and the same calling. If you know Jesus, present him to other people. Tell that name to other people. Some people are ashamed of the name of Christ, and they're so afraid of the name of Jesus that instead of saying Merry Christmas, they'll say something else. But we should never be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. They took him to the people of the temple, other believers, Simeon and Anna, the community, everyone there around the temple saw him. And they went home to Nazareth. Let everyone know. Let everyone know the name. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my heart with gladness, keeps me singing as I go. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. So who's at the top of your Christmas list? I had the nicest Christmas list, the longest one in town. So Daddy looked at it and said, you'll have to cut it down. I knew that what he said was true, beyond the faintest doubt, but I was amazed to hear him say, you've left your best friend out. So I scanned my list again and said, oh, that's not true. But Daddy said, his name, it's not there, that friend who died for you. And then I clearly understood, 'twas Jesus that he meant, for him who should come. First of all, I hadn't planned. I made a Christmas birthday list and left the Savior out. But oh, it didn't take me long to change the list about. And though I've had to drop some names of folks I like a lot, my Lord must have the most because his name is that. This Christmas season, do you cherish the name of Jesus above everything? It's because of the name of Jesus. Your soul is cleansed from sin in Jesus' name. Your life is delivered from destruction in Jesus' name. And your obedience to God and God's word honors the name of Jesus. Let's bow for a time of prayer and invitation. Thank you for your good attention here this morning. If you say, Pastor Harness, God has taught me something about the name of Jesus today. I've learned something about that wonderful name. Of the name of Jesus. If that's you, would you testify by raising your hand? Amen. Amen. Are there others? Maybe you don't know the name of Jesus as your Savior. Perhaps you need Christ to save your soul. The forgiveness of sin, the eternity with Christ in heaven, it's all available because of Jesus. He came and lived and died on the cross, that he just loved you. And today, by faith, believe on Christ and have eternal life. Maybe you say, if I could be saved, if I could have my sins forgiven, in Jesus' name, I would like that today. That's you today with the grace of hand. You've never trusted Christ. You'd like to know more about that. Anyone at all, thank you. In our invitation time, we invite you to come and be right with God. Let's honor and adore the name of Jesus today. And then if you need to trust Christ, you can do that. Have your sins eternally forgiven. Father, we thank you for your word today. Help us in this invitation time to respond how you would have us. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Help us secure in his name. We pray. Amen. Would you please